Well, I'll introduce myself since I'm both moderating and presenting, so a little awkward, but just bear with me. My name is Christine. I go by Rhea Harold. I am an assistant professor in healthcare administration at University of Alabama, Birmingham. Go Blazers. And I would have to say that because I get all kinds of questions of, oh, you have a really good football team. We're okay. Anyways, I'm presenting on behalf of Shannon Hauser, who unfortunately is out of the country. And this is the work mostly put together by Shannon Hauser and Larry Harold. And I'm the lucky person that got to go to Boston to give this presentation. I also want to acknowledge the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, as well as the UAB Center for Outcomes and Effectiveness Research and Education for supporting this work. And I have no relationships to disclose. All right. So basically, currently there are a number of initiatives that aim to improve care through the use of HIT. Meaningful Use is a program or initiative in which providers show they're using electronic health records technologies, ways that can be measured. Accountable care organizations, I'm sure a lot of you already know about, which are physicians, hospitals, and other providers. Organize to coordinate patient care under the original Medicare program. Their aim is to reduce costs and care while improving quality. The care is shared between a physician and the patient, which really contributes to a patient-centered orientation of care. And then the last is the patient care medical home, which is where my experiences that we'll be talking about, or I'll be talking about in this presentation. In the patient-centered medical home, providers organize care around the patient, working in teams, coordinating care, tracking over time. As you can imagine, HIT plays a very instrumental role in PCMH initiatives and their ability to promote efficient care. Low adoption of health information can definitely impede this progress in reaching patient-centered medical care. Home status. So what is the PCMH? I suspect that most of you here are familiar with it. I think that probably most people are familiar with PCMH. Or patient-centered medical home. I have to say I use those terms interchangeably quite a bit. But it's probably worth just mentioning a little bit of background about it. It was originally developed in 1967 for the pediatric population. It didn't really gain much traction at that time, but was revived about 10 years ago in response to concerns about rising costs, poor quality of care, and the ability of our existing primary care network to address these concerns. So there are quite a few different definitions out there of patient-centered medical homes, but it's roughly organized around these seven joint principles are promulgated by four professional associations, the AAFP, AAP, ACP, AOA. Of course, this is healthcare, so it's an acronym for everything. But just to touch on it quickly, the personal physician, it's the continuity, it refers to continuity and the idea patients have a continuous relationship with their primary care physician. Physician-directed medical practice is a team-based care that incorporates knowledge and skills of different professional disciplines in the care of that person. The whole person orientation refers to comprehensiveness of care, and the idea that a medical home can care for most, if not all, aspects of that person's care. Care coordination is simply the integration across care settings. Quality and safety is what you would imagine. Whether they have the practice has structures in place to address quality and safety, enhanced access. The patients have timely access to care and, of course, payment to support all this. So the PCMH has played a central role in health reform, had tremendous amount of growth over the last several years. Trying to promote PCMH, there's a number of demonstration programs. And, of course, due to this growth, it's incredibly hard to get some accurate numbers of actually how many programs out there. There are 41 state Medicaid programs as of January 2012. Number of NCQA certified practices increased by 28 to nearly 3,000 over just a short period of time. So for this presentation, I'm looking at the type and level of HIT usage in relation to patients there in Milka Homes, and examining the relationship between characteristics of physician practices and their level of HIT usage. The study context that I'll be using is from the state of Michigan. There are 831 physician practices, which relates to 1670 actual physicians throughout the state that were involved in a pay-for-performance program that included PCMH as one of their major initiatives. As although, like I said, I'm a professor down in Birmingham. Part of my interest in this is before I took this actual position, I was a consultant, a healthcare consultant with these physician organizations. So I have quite a bit of on-the-ground experience trying to lay out the patients' hair and milk homes and get them up in these particular practices. This program emphasized four chronic conditions, coronary artery disease, asthma, congestive heart failure, and diabetes. It also means that most practices were in primary care, including family and general medicine, internal medicine, pediatrics. This program did, where the health plan sponsoring the program also opened up the program to a number of specialists, such as cardiologists and endocrinologists, that served as primary care physicians for some of those chronic diseases that I just mentioned. One of the unique features of this program is that it was implemented through physician organizations as opposed to actual physicians. So the health plan is working with physician organizations that represent a network of physicians rather than practices individually. And what's interesting about this is that they were able to use the existing infrastructure already there through the physician organizations to roll this out. So that, in terms of as a researcher, that opens up a number of interesting questions. So some of the main features of this particular PCMH program from Michigan is there are 12 components or domains based on these joint principles, the seven joint principles we talked about before. And patient-provider agreements, patient registries, performance reporting, individual care management, extended access, test tracking, preventative services, linkage to community services, self-management support, patient web portal, care coordination, specialist referral system. So there are these 12 components. And then from these 12 components, there are 125 capabilities there. If this is overwhelming to you all, believe me, to all of us on the ground, it was completely overwhelming, and it changed over time to make it even more confusing. So within these 12 domains, these 125 capabilities, we have it present or not. So for example, you can have a patient registry, and for that, one of the domains could ask whether the practice uses a paper or electronic registry for diabetes. A second capability could ask whether the patients, whether there's a registry to manage patients for CHF, and so on. So there are all these different questions there to measure whether there are these capabilities or not. So one other thing I must note, that this particular program out of Michigan, there was an Urban Institute study that looked at comparisons of the PCMH programs out there. And this particular program has a greater emphasis on care coordination, quality measurement, population health management, and patient engagement than other programs out there, but less emphasis on formal policies and comprehensiveness of care. The data for the study comes from 2008 to 2010. Administrative claims data, facility professional pharmacy claims data, and also their physician surveys of these PCMH capabilities. So they ask people to do a survey, do you have it in place or do you not? Yes, no. Yeah, you think maybe you could cheat the system. They did random audits to make sure it actually was there. So we have five time periods of data. We actually just got a data upload for three more time periods through 2012. As you can see, from an assessment point of view, our time periods are not created equally. They are of different lengths, which we have ways statistically to adjust for. But we have all the different periods, and we compare them to baseline. Some basic information about our practices, since we're interested in examining whether initial levels, whether our practices have different relationships with HIT implementation. Might be worth noting that we classified our physician organizations into hospital-employed, community health centers, physician-hospital organization, PHOs, independent physician associations, or IPAs, and medical groups. Also, our sizes of our different groups, how we divide them up, solo practitioners, 2 to 3 physicians, 4 to 7 physicians, and so on. And specialty are the ones I mentioned before, family practice, internal medicine, pediatric specialists, which are the cardiologists and endocrinologists that work as primary care physicians for the chronic conditions emphasized in this program, and then multi-specialty groups. As you can see, most of our folks were from independent physician organizations. So we did, for this particular presentation, some very simple univariate bivariate analyses to examine the frequency of HIT use and the association with some of these physician practice characteristics. So our summary of some of the findings we see is that of our 831 practices, 58% use practice management software. That was the most common software that were used. 51% use electronic prescribing software, which was a major initiative of this program, and a lot of groups were offered free access to that. 31% electronic medical record systems, 29% patient registry software. Only 4% of practices use patient portal software or personal health records. We also see that community health centers are most likely to use e-prescribing compared to hospital-based physician practices. There was really no statistically significant differences in the HIT use with respect to practice size or physician specialty, which was kind of interesting to me because I thought that differences in governance may affect whether some of these were adapted in their practices. So despite the important role of HIT in patient San Marco home, we find quite a bit of overall usage is varied quite a bit among these different HIT applications. And also that size, specialty really don't account for some of these differences. So some of the future research that we're working on is explore reasons for these uneven adoptions across different types of HIT. And what are important barriers for promoting more widespread usage of HIT? Also, we want to see examine whether it's associated with the degree of PCMH implementation. So across, we can also look at how many capabilities are in place. Also, if within certain of the domains, whether there's depth within certain domains. And we can see if HIT adoption is associated with overall and subdimension implementation. We also can examine the independent and interactive effects of HIT adoption and PCMH implementation on our patient outcomes. So thank you. Do you have any questions? Yes.
The big question I have is what was the certification, if any, criteria? I've been really looking at NCQA practices in Michigan. What level? Because, like, if they're NCQA, they have to have electronic health records to be level 3 PCMH.
So, state that question one more time, please.
Based on what criteria, do these practices have any kind of certification, like NCQA, PCMA certification?
They had the certification. That was kept separate from this particular program. Within this particular program, they designed their own PCMA designation. I'm not answering your question right, am I?
No, I just wondered. I mean, there are a few different standards.
There are quite a
few. PCMA, NCQA is the predominant.
No, right.
You showed the increase from 2008 to 2011 in NCQA practices. Mm-hmm. So are these practices NCQA practices?
For the most part, a lot of them are, but not all of them are.
So
it was kept as a separate designation program through Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Okay. So of your sample, some are NCQA practices and some are not?
Correct.
Well, it says 28 to 3,000, so 3,000 is pretty close to your full sample.
That's across the country.
Oh.
Yes, ma'am.
Can you comment on the impact of adoption of HIV on outcomes?
I cannot at this point.
You're still looking at it?
We have not done the analysis yet.
I just wanted to follow up. I just wanted to clarify that what the sample we're working with. So, what is, given that, well, NCQA has a standard definition of what adoption is, how are you defining adoption given that some are NCQA and some are not?
How we're defining adoption of the patient's their medical home? Based on the criteria for this program. So, for the program, I understand what you're saying about NCQA certified practices. This program came up with their own implementation of PCMH based on these different components. So they had to have a certain number of the components in place of the capabilities within these certain domains to be designated as a patient care medical home under this particular program. So it's kept as a separate thing from NCQA. It's a separate designation program.
Can you show us more just the health IT components that the state required to have? Well, so in NCQA, it lays out what specific health IT components you need to have in order to become a PCMH.
I don't have that with me. Like I said, there's 125 capabilities. So within these particular ones, like patient registry, it's not as clear cut in terms of like with NCQA. So to become a patient care medical home, they have to have a certain number of components, capabilities within those components.
But they don't necessarily have to have any. Like,
correct. They don't. That's not a requirement for the patient care medical home.
Except for this patient web portal thing.
But in and of itself, you're exactly right. It's not a requirement to have a certain level of HIT to be designated as a patient center medical home. It's a different designation program.
I just think that would be helpful then, because you're working with two different samples then. You're working with an NCQA sample.
I'm not talking about NCQA. All I talk about is with this particular group from Michigan. That's what I'm saying. There's a different designation program than NCQA. They're separate designation programs. As opening up that there could be a possibility. I don't know which ones may have gone through the NCQA designation process or not. I'm assuming, knowing the sample, that there may be some that have that, but
I think that's important for your study to know the number of NCQA certified practice sites versus non. That would definitely dictate required quasi certification whether or not the types of IT, health IT that it would use, the degree to which that would be quote unquote used.
I understand your point. I would agree to disagree. I would care to disagree because it's a different program. I guess I think I confused you by having that bullet point up there. I mean, this. All I'm talking about here is a completely different program and their designation process, regardless of anything else. So take that bullet point out, forget that, and just...
Well, I was asking for the sample, like your sample.
The sample is 831 physician practices within organized to pursue a pay-for-performance opportunity. In that pay-for-performance opportunity, the patient-centered medical home designation was part of the opportunity.
And 831 practice sites are all non-NCQA certified.
I can't answer that.
That's important.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you mentioned about the patient portal. I think you said about 4% of providers have adapted to the patient portal, and that you're looking at barriers of why there isn't growth in that area. And there's an independent research that was done by the American College of Healthcare Executives that correlates the percentage to what yours was, or what was indicated. And it was 3%. providers not adopting to patient portals, and they said that they will be adopting within the next 1 to 3 years. I have a patient wellness application, that portal, and it incorporates all of those there. But one of the barriers as we were doing R&D was physicians can't figure out how they can get paid for the services and the amount of time spent with the patient. So we're still grappling with how to accommodate a payment system. And so under here, did the survey acknowledge how physicians are getting paid to adapt, or is it like a bundle payment?
It's a bundle payment. So it's not based on particular capabilities, it's based on the amount of equipment in place.
So if there's a patient wellness portal that incorporates all 12 components, there's a bundle payment, say, of $100, just for the sake of looking at the dollar figure. And a practice could say, we have the CMH model within this patient portal, and that would work? Do you think?
Yeah.
Say a patient portal has all of the components, the 12 components there, at least those components. Self-management, patient registry, patient-provider agreement, communication between specialist referral system, self-management coordination, linkage to community services through using GIS, you know, the whole shebang.
If they can account for all the capabilities within the domain and it comes within one portal, I think that would work.
And is that a global payment system, or is it varied one state by state?
Well, this is just for one state.
Michigan.
Exactly.
This
is not a national program.
Correct. So, I'm sure, but since you are an expert in this area, I'm just wondering if your knowledge base knows that the prices do vary, or is it a federal or a state? I know the federal has a linkage to payout, but who determines the final payout from state to state, since all the states vary in terms of cost? Because you're associating costs of performance and costs of living as well. So, do you know anything that you can help us understand how payment systems are derived in Michigan, say?
Well, for this particular one, the payment system was derived from a health plan that sponsored this. It was one health plan that sponsored this. And they came up with their payment structure of how they were going to remunerate physicians or physician practices, rather. Actually, the physician organization for participating in the program and putting these capabilities in place. Unfortunately, for those of us who are on the ground with this particular program, how they came up with the money and the remuneration figures were very much black box to us. For those of us who are on the ground working, we got a lump sum for the physician organization that said, here it is. But we never had direct information about, you got this money for doing this for this. It was very much a black box.
On the federal side, I mean, for meaningful use, everyone has to have a portal. There has to have communication going both ways. But that's, otherwise, you don't get that additional payment. So that's, I think, the main motivator for everybody to go to putting in portals.
Yes, ma'am. It sounds like you may be required to have it, not use it.
Well, no, you have to actually show a certain percentage of people. I mean, at our hospital system, they're just going crazy getting people signed up, trying to get people signed up and actually use it, and they have to document that there's information going between, back and forth between the health system and the patient.
Right. Unfortunately, it sounds like my experience with the portals is they're still very diagnostically based.
Right.
So they really have health information, yeah, unless you count that as the only kind of health.
Any kind of message is that's required.
Right. So it's not yet really doing, I think, what really nature were originally intended for the whole of the state.
Correct. I have virtually no competition with my board.
Yeah.
Culture Center.